not just the process is under question. There are lots of questions regarding what exactly and who exactly should be getting the vaccination. Are there side effects, etc.? And for that, answering all those questions, we've got a super panel with us today evening. We've got Dr. Naresh Trehan joining us this evening. We've got Dr. Manish Gupta. He is from the Hiranandani Hospital in Mumbai. We've got Dr. Ravinder Mehta from Bengaluru joining us. He's a chief of pulmonology there at Apollo Hospitals. We've got Dr. Sumit Ray joining us from Holy Family Hospital in the capital. And also Dr. D.S. Rana, chairman of the board of management, Sir Gangaram Hospital. Thank you all, gentlemen, for joining us this evening. I've got a list of questions for you. Let me begin by first asking the question that has been most feared by people, and that is about, in private hospitals, what are the checks in place at the moment so that people don't jump the queue? And we've had some reports in the past regarding this, so I would like Mr. D.S. Rana actually to answer that question on what precautions are the private hospitals taking to ensure that people with jugaad in Delhi, as they say, don't try and make the most of it.
Thank you, Sonal. You know, all private hospitals, those who are involved in vaccinating their own staff for last 1 month, they are quite ready to vaccinate now senior citizens and people above 45 years with comorbid conditions.
Mm.
And I don't think they will require much more, requirement to be in place. And we have got, like at Gangaram Hospital and many other hospitals also, we have got adequate staff and we'll be taking, of course, precautions of people will be coming with comorbid conditions.
Hmm.
So we have to take their proper history and also see that they are not having any active disease. If people are not having active disease, then they should go for vaccination.
Hmm.
And maybe that formal consent also be taken, though.
Right.
Informal consent they will be already giving if they are coming for vaccination.
Sure.
You know.
But if I understand, the details of people you vaccinate will actually go back on that website and the government will be keeping a check as well. Dr. Trehan, if you could come in on that one, how will this entire process be transparent in the way? What are private hospitals doing about it?
I can't hear you.
Oh, we can hear you. Let me try again.
Yeah.
Okay, I was just trying to understand on the checks and balances that private hospitals are putting in place to ensure that only those who need it the most at the moment get the vaccine.
So it's a natural process. See, you when you have to go through a process where you have to protect a large population like ours, and the way to move forward is to move segment by segment, and protect those who are vulnerable the most. So it's natural that first the healthcare workers and the frontline workers were protected.
Mm.
Now it's the time to protect our people who are elderly, people who have comorbidities, and the cutoff dates have already been chosen.
Mm.
Now what is good about all this is that there are 30,000 inoculation centers that are going to be functional very soon.
Mm.
So if that's the case, we can go up to a huge number of vaccinations, even 20, 30 lakhs a day. And that will make it happen that 30 crore target that we have to be able to inoculate all these people who are actually in need of it right
away.
How
many vaccinations are you aiming at in a day?
That will give us the protection that we need.
How many
vaccinations? I think it's a good plan. It's a good plan and we can ramp it up. As the vaccines become available, we can ramp it up even more.
Hmm. Okay. Let me bring in Dr. Sumit Ray over here. What details can you share with us, Dr. Ray, at this point on how many people are likely to be vaccinated at private and government centers on a daily basis?
So the details have not yet been completely finalized, but I think a easy target would be, depending on the center, what they can ramp it up to, could start off with 100 to 200 vaccinations a day.
Okay.
And as we go forward, we'll see how logistically it's possible to ramp it up further in certain centers. And government centers are actually much more used to vaccinations than private centers. Almost 85% of vaccinations in this country happen in government centers.
Right.
Otherwise, more healthcare is privatized, but in terms of vaccination, the public health system does much more vaccinations than private health systems. And the question about you had asked earlier about how do we check that there is no jugaad used in getting people in to get the vaccines. Well, one is the check that you, the data that comes in through the COVID app or the COVID website that you enter the data. And there would be a fair number of walk-in patients, walk-in people, I would say, who need the vaccination, because a large percentage of people, particularly those above 60, are not as you know, tech savvy as others.
In fact, that was going to be my next question. Do you have any communication from the government into how many walk-in people you can take in a day, and how exactly is the queue going to work then?
Right. So that is going to be the difficult one. There is a plan there. There is a certain percentage of bookings for vaccination will be for the second dose. After that has been subtracted from the total number of vaccines, they will be calculating the number of open slots which will be there, which can be walk-in, and there would be those which have come through COVID. So that is going to be a little difficult to balance out, I think, logistically initially, being controlled initially, because, you know, it has to be, the data has to be continuously updated every day, every hour, to see how many can be vaccinated, how many have actually entered the data and want to go to that center on the COVID app, and so how many can you allow? Usually the plan would be 24 hours, I mean, plan 24 hours ahead, that the best would be to plan it that the day before you have the filled the COVID slots, and then you allow people to walk in based on how many slots are empty.
You also put out that information there, that there are so many slots free, so that people have access to it, and they're not endlessly waiting, especially the elderly there and those with comorbidities. Let me bring in Dr. Mehta over here. What are the preparations looking like in Bangalore at the moment?
So I think the whole thing is that we've heard of the intention, which is lovely. I think we're really proactively going into the private sector faster than we did for the COVID crisis. But I think we went in quite late. I think the big thing was the call today, which happened from the government of India to 10,000 hospitals, where all our center heads were on the call. I think they're outlining things which are actually first trying to see what we can do logistically. So the number I heard today was 200 people at the hospital. They put people, our administrators, that you can scale up, but you can't scale down. It's going to be one center. It's currently going to go through the app. And then obviously, I think the further scaling will depend on initially figuring out the glitches. For example, we've seen the glitches of even with healthcare vaccination, frontline vaccination. So I think once the process is streamlined, then we know all these issues. And to add, there's going to be no show people who will book appointments and maybe change their minds, slowness. If you have an elderly population, more observation, so forth. I think all that will get ironed out, because the private sector is very well geared up to these processes, in my opinion.
All right. Fair enough. A couple of details over there. Thanks for sharing us. Let me also bring in Dr. Gupta over here from Mumbai. Dr. Gupta, are you a little concerned about the COWIN app at this point? I mean, I really want to say this out. It's called an app, but it's actually a website where people have to go, and the Arogya Setu app works, you know, simultaneously here. But are you a little concerned about how it has performed in the past?
Madam, well, I think the government machinery has been working very swiftly on this and really appreciate the app works very well. There has been some incidences, but overall the app is very good, and whatever our experiences with the app has been tremendous. Taking a data at such a high level and manipulating it or working on it, the data processing has been very adventurous. I don't think people will have any problem registering online with COWIN app. And the best process is, once you are registered, all the things go very easily online. Everything is protocol based. So I don't think there should be any problem. It's a wonderful thing.
All right.
I am proud of that thing.
A lot of optimism over there. Let's hope it carries out like that in the days to come as well. Let me bring back Dr. Trihan on a question that you know, comes to mind at this point. Is that, Dr. Trihan, the earlier phases, you know, when the frontline workers and the healthcare workers were getting vaccinated, we saw a fair amount of vaccine hesitancy there. It was there in the earlier phases. Cut to phase two, we're actually expecting vaccine rush now. People can't wait to get their vaccine, right? So how is that happening, and how do you see that playing out? Because we're only scaling up. System remains the same.
Exactly what you said is going to happen. You know why the hesitancy on part of the healthcare workers and the frontline workers was? that a fair number of them had already gotten the COVID infection. In fact, when you see the sero survey in the people who are frontline workers and the healthcare workers, upwards of 45% of them had already shown antibodies. That means that they had either got COVID or that the fact that they had been exposed to it enough that they didn't even know and they just went through it without knowing, which is a nice thing to happen. But so also there is a huge number of them who are very young, and the young had this hesitancy to say, do we really need it? We are okay. Mm. Even if we get it, we'll be all right. Mm. And why do we have to get sick, or why do we have to get 2 days of fever? Well, all those things did happen. But overall, over 60% of those that group did get inoculated. Second thing, the group that is bringing in now are the ones who are actually have been living in fear and panic that we need the vaccine because we are vulnerable. And if something happens to us, if we get the infection, it's going to be severe. We may be hospitalized and even lose our lives. So you're talking about two different groups here now. So I expect that there will be a huge demand, which is already apparent. We have got in from the Medanta, the registration that we opened for people to fill in their information. We have thousands and thousands. I think yesterday it started with 10, 15,000. Today it may be over a lakh. So the point is, these are patients who have been associated with us and people who know about us, who have comorbidities. And you know how common heart disease is and how common diabetes is and some of the other. And cancer is also has shown a lot of increase. So there is a huge population that really needs it. So I think it's an important factor that we gear up properly and we try to actually vaccinate them as fast as possible. And, you know, people were calling us and saying, vaccine is going overseas, why can't we get it? Well, there is a system to it. It needs a lot of working out. It has all been done. And starting tomorrow, we embark on the new journey, which will be very beneficial to all these people who have been living in this.
Dr. Jehan, calls to you are only going to increase, I'm assuming. So good luck to you in the days to come as well. Let me bring in Dr. Sumit Ray at this point. You know, we talked about how the elderly are quite desperate at this point to get the vaccination, but we've talked in fair amount about the research that is involved and the risks involved with it as well. Could you take our viewers through some of those things that people should be keeping in mind, some vaccine precautions that the elderly should be keeping in mind as well?
So, for sure, those who have history of severe allergies of some type or another, okay, severe allergies. It's not that you have just a few rash or et cetera. Those are the ones who should not, should be much more careful about vaccination, and they should give that history. They should give the history of, clearly give the history to the where they are getting vaccinated, the of the comorbidities that they have. People on anticoagulants, a certain subset of blood thinners, not the aspirin, not those on aspirin, but a subset of blood thinners called anticoagulants, like warfarin, etc., are usually not given injectable vaccines because they have a chance of bleeding. So that those are the people who have to be careful. Just adding to the vaccine reason for vaccine hesitancy to a certain extent was also the fact that the phase 3 trial data for certain vaccines were not published by that time, and people were, and obviously the healthcare workers, etc., had more knowledge about these things than the lay public. So there was that element of more hesitancy at that time. And as you said, now these, as Dr. Trehan said, that these are the people now at their 60s and above who are actually more worried about the disease than about the side effects of the vaccine. The other advantage of the vaccine is all the vaccines have shown that the severity of illness is reduced. Even if you get the infection, the severity of illness is reduced.
Right.
That is something which also is making people more enthusiastic about the vaccine, particularly those prone to severe disease.
Right. Dr. Mehta, if I can bring you in on this one, you know, this is all happening at a time when schools are also reopening. So perhaps it becomes even more imperative for the elderly to go and vaccinate themselves, right? But one common question I get is, what if I have I have antibodies? Do I still need to get vaccinated? Should I prioritize that?
Yeah, so I think this has been put out quite plainly that unless you have had a COVID infection in the last 2 weeks, or sometimes people say 4 weeks, you can go ahead and get the vaccine. Because now the global policy that looking at antibodies and trying to use that as a parameter to try and figure out people who are going to get the vaccine or no is given up. The only thing people did when they had vaccine shortage was they tried to triage the people with recent COVID infection because they could go back on the line for getting vaccination vis-a-vis a higher priority group. But otherwise, whether you've had COVID infection in the past or no, you can jolly well go ahead and get the vaccine. The other thing about this comorbidities part of it is that I think we'll have to watch a little more because that little fever, the little dizziness, the little headache, body ache, the little fast heart rate, we'll have to just keep a little more caution in the elderly. As my previous panelists are pointing out, heart disease, lung disease, you look at that list, it's prohibitively worrisome. Look at the risk released by the Ministry of Health and Family Welfare. Their side effects profile will need more observation than healthcare workers and frontline workers. By definition, most healthcare workers and frontline workers have been pretty robust, and there we've had these little issues of side effects. But here we'll have to watch a little more, be a little more open-minded, keep the surveillance going, keep links with them. So I think it's not only about the vaccination, it's about the fact that these guys have access to healthcare for their complaints in the next 24 to 48 hours, which can be dealt with both as a treatment exercise as well as a confidence-building exercise.
Okay. Fair point there. So what about those, especially at this point, as we're looking at emergency care over here, there is a post-vaccination, a few minutes pointed out and allotted for people to stay back and report on that front as well. If I could bring in Dr. Gupta over here. Dr. Gupta, what are the some of the precautions that hospitals are taking at this point, and what can you tell the elderly who are a little concerned about the after impact of the vaccine?
I fully agree with what Dr. Mehta has pointed out, that we have to be very careful with the elderly people because the elderly will be having not only the age-related thing, but the comorbidities also. And the vaccination center has to keep in mind that they are ready with all emergency precautions. There has to be an observation area where the elderly are continuously in monitoring of the medical staff. So there has to be a crash cart, there has to be an emergency medical kit. So overall, every individual has to be there in the center for almost half an hour for after post vaccination, and he has to be under the observation. That is a government guideline. So as and when a person, individual gets vaccinated, he will be under the observation of the medical team for another half an hour. And subsequent to this, when the elderly is going home, we will definitely give him some contacts in case of emergency, we will be able to reach him. So we have to develop a protocol, and the protocols already are in place. For elderly people, we have to be very cautious about this.
One other question I hear very often, and I have people writing to me about, is the brand of vaccine that they might be getting. The government has made it very clear that you cannot choose. But I just want to go around the table once and get everybody's opinion on whether or not people should be concerned about which brand of vaccination they are getting. Dr. Ray, let's begin with you.
Well, actually, there is a choice in the sense of the center you choose. When you're choosing the center on the app, you can choose a center, but I don't think they'll have the information which type of vaccine has been given there. But I'm sure with the kind of information network we have otherwise, people will soon know which vaccine has been given in which hospital. But I don't think there is much evidence yet to suggest that one is better than the other. Having said that, without naming any vaccine, the phase 3 trial of one vaccine has not yet been published, and I'm still a little worried why it has not been published, because there's enough time now that it should have been published. There were 26,400 patients, candidates for that vaccine in the trial, and 25,000 had already been done in January. So I think it's time that those kind of data transparency issue should be addressed. And I mean that is logical, and that is necessary, I think, in a country and a democracy like ours, that we get that information.
Sure, Dr. Mehta.
Yeah, so I think this whole thing is a question because we have only two vaccine brands in the market right now. I mean, if you start listening to people talking abroad, Pfizer, Moderna, those guys have given tons of vaccines right now. They are looking way ahead of the regular who to vaccinate. They're trying to figure out which vaccine is going to be longer, better immunity, mutant strains, safety in different profile groups. So this science of vaccinology has gone way ahead. There's a point at which our selected population will start looking at it. So as Dr. Ray was pointing out, it's high time we accept that these are very, very important things. This data should come out. Yes, currently government may not give options. People may not take it if you don't give them options. But over time, as data rolls out, there will definitely be differences, hierarchies, and points to figure out one versus the other. It's happening with all the other vaccines. The J&J vaccine is now getting center stage now because of the one shot. If such a big international argument is going on, we can't just sit under the carpet.
I have last 30 seconds, so I quickly just want to go across to Dr. Trehan as well and get his opinion on which vaccine, on both the brands versus the other. Quick comment there, sir.
Like expressed earlier, I think that there is no difference right now. Over a crore of people have been vaccinated. There have not been any adverse events. How much response we are going to get? This is beginning to come into the public space now because people have completed their two doses. Another 2-3 weeks after which, if we test their antibodies, we'll get an idea what response we are getting. But today, I think they are equal. Yeah. You cannot mix them. So it's better. The first shot should be the same as the second shot.
Right. All right, gentlemen. Sadly, have to leave it there for the moment. But next we meet, India would have begun vaccinating its senior citizens. 9 a.m. on Monday is when the registrations begin. Good night for now.